from San Diego.
It's a lot different. It was less people for when I was sitting facing this way. Whew. I'm a recovered alcoholic, and my name is Sandy. Welcome to the newcomers, and, you know, it's an honor to be here. For the newcomers, when I say I'm recovered, I did not say I'm cured. That will never happen. One of the definitions that I found in Webster for the word recover is to save from loss and restore to usefulness. And as a result of this program, today I've been saved from loss and restored to usefulness. And, you know, my sponsor, well, first of all, my sobriety date is January the 7th, 1999. My home group is the Friday Night Landing Zone meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous at Veterans Village of San Diego across from MCRD. And my sponsor is real adamant about me remembering the our primary purpose, so I stick to the term stimulants. Is there anybody in here who's had experience with stimulants? Okay. If you did not raise your hands, please sit next to one of them as I speak Tweakanese and they'll translate. You'll have your own interpreter. Okay. Congratulations to those that have also taken tokens and cakes. You know, that it is truly a miracle. You know what? I got to Alcoholics Anonymous by way of it, and we'll make this short. My parents are alcoholics. I don't believe that's the reason that I am one, because my bottom was a lot different than what was going on in my home. By the time I got here, I was living in a storage container and didn't think I was homeless because I had it delivered. I'm a high-bottom alcoholic. I'm a high-bottom drunk that I still, my ego gets in the way, and I need to tell you I had it delivered because somebody one time thought that I found some vacant or abandoned storage container, dumpster to move into, and I was offended. I had it delivered. Never paid for it, though, and the city took it back. But, you know, and because of stimulants, I decided and made a conscious decision one day that I should become an entrepreneur and sell them. I lived across the street from the police station over on Midway. Mid-City Police Station over there on Fairmont and Landis, right around there. I considered them my private security because I had lived in a couple of garages and had been robbed, and I figured no one would rob me across the street from the police station. If you haven't noticed, I have a disease that is centered in my thinking. And I'm real different from all of you. And I love it in the book where it says that we're people that normally would not mix. And I have never met anybody that I wouldn't drink or get high with. In matter of fact, I used to hang out with a guy who had white power tattooed across his stomach. I mean, it makes no difference when you have what I want, and I just figure we're cool no matter what. Yeah. You know, I'm also, I'm honored to say that I am a veteran. I was in the Air Force. For any of you that were in any other branch of the service, the Air Force is a real branch of the service. I know all the jokes. They're true. And I was in before Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Someone told, so they asked me to leave. I really, really wanted to be in, so 4 years later, I fraudulently went back, and somebody recognized me. They asked me to leave again. Fortunately, I'm still honorably discharged, and I was an air traffic controller, one of the first women ever to do so in the control tower in Okinawa, and I'm proud of that. But, you know, and drinking is something that you do as an air traffic controller. They call it debriefing at the end of the day. Just so you know, if you fly, air traffic controllers have one of the highest alcoholism rates next to doctors. But anyway. So how I finally ended up in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, I wish I could tell you that I one day looked up and thought, oh, my life is going to shit in a handbasket real quick, but I didn't. I had gotten in trouble for selling stimulants. And got an opportunity. I ended up in front of the judge one too many times, and this time I was facing going to prison. Now, I am not really the kind of person that belongs in prison. I can talk mad trash and all of that, but there's some certain fears that keep me out of prison. I picture her to be about that tall. Half her hair is braided. The other half is in an afro, missing every other tooth, where her tongue looks like it's in prison, looking at me, talking about they call me Big Daddy. And I just know that that's not where I belong. You know, I got to go now. Big Daddy likes her feet rubbed before she goes to bed. So someone said, you know, if you go into a recovery home, then they more than likely won't send you to jail. And being a veteran, I asked, and I got to go. And I'll always remember the judge told me that he would allow me to go as long as he could stipulate I'd be there 365 days. And it reverberated in my head as though he had just said 25 to life. So I've always had a God. Me and God are real cool. And I've always depended upon him. And when I got there, they said I needed to get a God, get a sponsor, go to meetings, read the book, and do some service. So I got a sponsor, found this lady was batshit crazy. I knew her from, you know, she's bad on the streets. Really, I mean, she takes medication and the whole deal. And I didn't want anybody to tell me how to live my life. But I was going to do these steps, not to get better, just so that I could prove to you that what you were suggesting that I do didn't work. And once I've done it, it doesn't work. You must leave me alone. And so I'm willing to do that. So that's how it is. I got a sponsor. I was at a meeting, and I was new, and somebody, they needed a secretary, and somebody says, oh, I nominate Sandy. And somebody said, I second. They said, I thought, oh, my God, they like me. And the truth is nobody wanted the commitment. But they gave this alcoholic a briefcase, and I was off. So I had some place to be, and I would show up. Now, every morning I would get up, and I would always say to God, today I'm going to stay sober to the best of my ability. In exchange, you take my, my deal with him was he would take away my problems. Someone said, you can't ask God for that. And I figured you might not be able to ask your God, but that's going to be the deal if I'm staying here. And every morning I would get up and say, okay, God, today I'm staying sober, but tomorrow I'm getting fucked up. Because my sponsor early on said if I decided to drink, if I drank again, it was because I made a decision to drink. No one could make me. It wasn't no pain, nothing. It was my decision. So my first day, I must tell you that I got to the recovery home on January the 5th. I just told you my sobriety date is January 7th. Told you I did not go there to get sober. But, you know, I decided I'm going to do this for 1 year. And I have been fortunate. I got that sponsor. I did service commitments. I was taught if it ain't inconvenient, then it ain't service. So, you know, I'd go to any lengths to, you know, to do service, and we'd hang out at meetings, and my life just changed. I don't know when it was. And I'd be on the phone early on talking about bring me something, and, you know, and it'd be like, come January the 5th, 2000, the party is on, because I'd done my commitment for the jails and courts. And about 6 months in, I realized I didn't want to say that anymore. My life had this great change, and I was loving life. I was working, and just things started to change. Now, we'll fast forward, and where am I today? You know, I continue to do the same things that I've done right out the gate. I still go to meetings. I have service commitments. As a matter of fact, one of my greatest achievements in Alcoholics Anonymous, I happen to be the chair of the San Diego Spring Roundup 37th one that will take place. My sponsor did it, and how I ended up there is my sponsor said one day, did I tell you volunteered for the San Diego Spring Roundup Committee? I said, well, no, and she said, you did. And that's been about 11 years ago, and I come faithfully, and I'm there the first Monday of every month, to, you know, and have done so. I continue to go to meetings. I sponsor women. I've done these steps, and I do big book studies. Alcoholics Anonymous, that big book, they told me it's a textbook. It's how I learned to live. They said that Alcoholics Anonymous wasn't here to teach me how to stop drinking. It was to teach me how to live sober. It was to teach me how to live without drinking again. And since the day I finally came in on January the 7th, 1999, I have not had a drink or any other mood-changing, mind-altering substances. Some people more than likely think I should take some of those substances because the cheese does slide off the cracker every now and then. But, you know, I've gone from, and I told you, I lived in a storage container when I got here. And, you know, today I own a home. I don't do jobs. I have a career. My sponsor said, why are you here? Because I have a new sponsor, and I've had her for the last 13 years. And she said, are you here to get off of probation, to get a job, to get a home? Or is it that you want to learn how to live without being on probation or learn how to own a home and not have a job but have a career? And I said yes to those. And she said, so if you knew how to do it, you would have already done it. So sit down and learn how to do it, and I'll show you. And so today that's what I do. And until today, I still call my sponsor before I make any drastic changes or in any huge decisions, because my disease is still centered in my thinking. I can run your life, and I can run mine right into hell. Because I know the right thing to do, that 11th step, always love it, it says, and I, you know, pray only for the knowledge of his will for me and the power to carry it out. It's truthfully, I needed the willingness. I've always had the power to carry out God's will. I'm just not always willing. Alcoholics Anonymous teaches me to how to be honest enough to know that I have a problem, open-minded enough to allow you to help me, and willing to take directions. You know, and I get that every day from God. I start my morning with the third step prayer and that's how I end my night. You know what? This program is the greatest thing that has ever happened to me. My mother, I'm an only child, and my mother looks forward to my phone call. And it's not that call, can you bail me out or can I get a few dollars? I never want to call my mother and she go, again, never. And instead today, if I don't call on Saturday or Sunday, she calls and are you okay? She knows I'm going to call. I'm dependable. I'm accountable. I'm reliable. You ask me and I tell you I'm going to be there and I'll be there. I learned that here in Alcoholics Anonymous. I wish I could tell you that I learned it in the military. Though I was a good airman, I still had, you know, lousy work ethics and I didn't have to do too much. You tell me to be there, yeah, I got it. But Alcoholics Anonymous has told me to be accountable and responsible. And for that, I will always be grateful. Biggest honor is, you know what, thank you for inviting me and asking me to be here. This is an honor, and thank you for sharing in my sobriety. Yeah.